Last Sunday, I began looking at our vision relaunch, and we looked up particularly growing up in maturity and growing together in community. And I think we should have the fourfold vision slide up in a moment. If we can have that, that would be great. And today, we will be focusing on growing out in evangelism and mission and growing larger as a church. I'm wondering, we may not get to the growing larger as a church in terms of time, but we may have to put that onto another time. We'll see how we go. But this is obviously from the story of the first church in Jerusalem that was birthed on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And our dear friend is going to come up, and Patricia is going to come up and just read to us Acts 2, 41, in actual fact, to 47.
Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 41 to 47. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. May God richly bless his word. Amen.
Wonderful. Thank you, Patricia. Before I get on to focusing on growing out in evangelism and mission, I want to focus on our core values as a church. And these core values go alongside our vision and describe, if you like, our main values as a church. And again, all of these values are, these core values are based on Scripture. And the first value, and hopefully it will come up on the screen, is word. So the Word of God, the Bible, we believe as a church that the Word of God is inspired by God. We believe the Word of God is trustworthy. We believe the Word of God is true, that the Word of God is powerful. Hebrews 4 verse 12 tells us, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword." And it penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So our core value is word, every person living a life of faith and obedience to God's word. So that's our first core value. The second core value is worship. We believe that the worship of God is of fundamental importance to our lives. Worship is not just singing songs. We worship God in everything that we do. We call our main Sunday morning services morning worship, and that is intentional. We don't come to church to be entertained. It's wonderful to have the worship team. Wonderful, you know, that we enjoy worship so much. It's absolutely superb. But we're not come to a performance. We don't call this service a family service, as some churches would do, as though families are the focus. The focus of our services is to worship, to honor, to glorify, to praise, to thank God. And it needs that worshiping and honoring and praising and glorifying and thanking God is central to our whole life as a church. We are a worshiping community, worshiping Him in through our lives, through our services, through everything that we do in our service of our Lord. So our core value is worship. every person developing intimacy with God by worshipping him in spirit and truth. Amen? Amen? And then the third core value is prayer. We believe as a church that communicating with God is vital, whether we are listening or speaking to him. So prayer is a key to relationship with God. We cannot claim to be in relationship with God if we never speak to him and if we never listen to him. We believe prayer is powerful. That's why we've just been praying for the sick. That's why we've just been praying for those who've come forward. We believe prayer, as a church, we believe prayer is powerful. We believe that God responds to our prayers and requests. And God encourages us in his word to seek him, to knock at his door, to ask him to be at work in our lives, in our churches, in our nation, and in our world. And God promises to hear and answer the prayers of his people. So prayer is another core value to Rock Christian Center. Every person developing a life of prayer. So it's not just about those who come to the prayer meetings. It's not just about the pastors praying. It's about everyone in the church. Everyone in the church developing a life of prayer. The next core value is spirit. We are a Trinitarian church. If you don't understand what that means, don't worry about it. It means we believe in God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. And so we are a Trinitarian church, and we passionately believe that we are living in the Pentecostal age. We are not a Pentecostal church. Some of you might be surprised about that. You thought we were, but we're not actually a Pentecostal church. We're not any church at all. We're just Rock Christian Center. We're not Baptists. We're not anything else. But we believe that we are living in the Pentecostal age. We're living in the days between the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and the time when Jesus will return. The second coming of Jesus, the end of the world as we know it. And that is the Pentecostal age, when the Holy Spirit is available to every born-again believer. So we believe the Holy Spirit is within every born-again believer because we are born again, not by our choice, but we are born again by the Spirit. That's what God's word says. That's what Jesus said. We believe in the Bible commands. The Bible commands us to be filled with the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, to do not grieve the Spirit or quench the Holy Spirit. We believe in the filling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe that fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are available to every born-again believer. It's a core value of this church. We believe that the Holy Spirit is of vital importance to everything in our Christian lives, every activity of the church. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts people of their sin and their need of Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit, we will see no people coming to true faith in Jesus Christ. We would be an entirely powerless people, an entirely powerless church without the Holy Spirit. And so Spirit is a core value to this church. Every person seeking and releasing the presence and power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The next, fellowship. We looked at fellowship last Sunday as part of growing together in community. And it was quite interesting, on Thursday at the Growing Leaders, we were looking at love as one of the key characters of Jesus and how he expects his followers to follow his example, to live a life of Christ-like love, of self-sacrificial love, care and compassion for others. So one of our core values as a church is fellowship, every person demonstrating the love of God to others. And that's a challenge, isn't it? Demonstrating that love of God to others. Another core value is discipleship. Last Sunday, we looked at growing up in maturity. And you know, we can only grow up in maturity if we are living as a disciple of Jesus Christ. if we're following Jesus, if we're basing our lives on the life of Christ, if we're following Jesus' example, if we're serving others, if we're serving his church and Jesus' kingdom. Discipleship is not about coming to church on a Sunday. That's an important part of it. But it's not about that. It's Monday through to Sunday. It's every day of the week, following Jesus. So one of our core values is discipleship. Every person pursuing Christ-like maturity and released into ministry because we're called to serve him. And then another key value is evangelism. In a moment, we'll be looking at growing out in evangelism and mission. And Jesus' great commission in Matthew 28 says to each of us, to each one of us, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So every Christian is called to share Jesus. Every Christian is called to share the good news of God's word and the gospel with those around us. So our final core value is evangelism. Every person involved in bringing people to Christ and contributing to world mission. So you can see the core values which underpin our fourfold vision of growth, that we should be a church that has a core value of word, of worship, of prayer, of spirit, of fellowship, discipleship, and of evangelism. So let's look again at these verses in the book of Acts and unpack the remaining vision of growth from our fourfold vision of growth. So looking specifically now at growing out in evangelism and mission. These verses are these verses and the story of the first church. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And a little bit later on it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Well, that was actually a public place, wasn't it? So they were meeting together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The first church had been born out of an evangelistic sermon spoken by Peter. The Holy Spirit is an evangelistic spirit. The Holy Spirit was working powerfully among them. Signs and wonders were taking place. God was on the move. God was convicting people of their sin and their need of Jesus. Miracles were taking place. And today we desperately need God to be working powerfully amongst us, don't we? Amen. Eh? It's so important. And it's wonderful that we've had that demonstration this morning of people coming forward, being prayed for, and God touching people's lives and moving in people's lives. And we need more of that, don't we? We need more of that. We need God to be working more powerfully among our family, our friends, our neighbors, our work colleagues. And if we want more of that, we need to be praying for more of that as well. As part of evangelism is praying, isn't it? And verse 47 tells us that they enjoyed the favor of all the people. That means that they were being a good witness, folks. They were being good ambassadors for Jesus, weren't they? They were known for their good works and their clean living. People didn't necessarily believe in what they were believed or hadn't come to that belief in Jesus yet, but they enjoyed the favor of all the people. Not because they were currying favor, but because they were known for their love. They were known for their good works. They were known to be upright and living in the right way. This first church had a great reputation. They enjoyed the favor of all the people. And that reputation didn't just depend on Peter and the 12 apostles living out the Christian life. It didn't just depend on them living out radical lives of love and good works. It depended on every member of that church, that first church, living out their discipleship for Jesus. You know, that was 3,120 people plus the daily converts. It's amazing, isn't it? The church was only a few weeks old, but it got 3,120 people plus all the people who were being added daily to the church. And you know, any one of those 3,120 plus people could have destroyed that first church's reputation in Jerusalem if they had behaved badly, if they'd hurt others, if they were living an immoral life, if they had bad attitudes. Every single one of them was an ambassador for Jesus. And do you realize every single one of you are an ambassador for Jesus? Really interesting. Last night we went to one of our neighbors just down the road, and it was his 60th birthday. And so we went down there and we met loads of our neighbors. And you very quickly realize that you may not necessarily have spoken to people very well, but they know who you are. They know that you go to church, and they want to know what your life is like and what you believe and everything else. It was a great evening. We had wonderful opportunities to share about Jesus and our faith with lots of other people. It was wonderful, actually, because of the things like the food bank and things like that. For unbelievers, that gives you, it's really great you're involved in that. And because you're involved in that, they're then more interested in your faith because they see it's relevant, it's actually helping people, there's good works involved in things, and it gives opportunity to share Jesus. You know, we should be enjoying the favor of the people around us. We should be famous. You should be famous. You know, people shouldn't just know you go to church and you're a stuck-up person, or that, you know, you're the person who lives on the road who complains about everything and shouts and hollers and everything. And, you know, when you go past the house, all they hear is, you know, the arguments going on inside the house. You know, that isn't going to be reflecting well on Jesus. Every single one of us is an ambassador for Jesus. And if you are an ambassador for a country, or if you're an ambassador for now the King of England, it matters how you behave. Why has the press been absolutely full of what Harry's been doing? Because in the end, it's because he is an ambassador for the royal family. He's part of the royal family. But it's the same for those who work for the royal family. They're all ambassadors. And if they spill the beans, it creates a whole load of mess and uncertainty about the royal family. But we are princes and princesses, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It matters how we live. It matters how we speak. It matters how we treat other people. It matters that we're involved in serving him, and that we're caring for the poor, and they're full of love and compassion and everything. These things are really, really important. And the question for each one of us, are you a good ambassador or a bad ambassador for Jesus? I have to ask that of myself. Am I a good ambassador or a bad ambassador for Jesus? Does your life, does your attitudes, do your words, your actions reflect well on Jesus, on your faith in Jesus? Or does it detract from Jesus? In Acts, the gospel of good news was being powerfully proclaimed through their lives, through their words, and through their deeds. And the result was the Lord added to their number day by day. People were getting saved on a daily basis. That is a growing church, folks. And God wants Rock Christian Center to be a church that's growing out in evangelism and mission. You know, one of my great concerns as a church is that we're not seeing more people converted, not seeing more people saved and getting baptized. You know, we should be seeing a lot more people. A church of this size should be having a lot more baptisms than we've been having, because they're evidence of what God has been doing in people's lives. God doesn't want us to be a holy huddle of nice Christians having a nice spiritual bless-up on a Sunday morning, does he? He wants us inspired by the Holy Spirit to burst out of the doors of the church with the message of Jesus for a lost and dying world. That's absolutely key, that we're reaching out. We're not ever meant to be a holy huddle. You know, we can make ourselves spiritually fat. You know, we need to exercise our faith. Just like some of us need to go to the gym and get some of that fat off. You know, we need to exercise our faith. And we need to be sharing that faith with others. You know, getting out, getting up from our armchairs and actually going out with the gospel of Jesus. So let's look at the specific aims and commitments we're making as part of this future vision. So our aims. First of all, to see the whole church involved in reaching out to their friends, neighbours and colleagues with the life-transforming message of Jesus. The whole church. That's you. And that's me. That's a challenge, isn't it? But, you know, when you think, if each one of us here today, you know, even in this year of 2023, if we reached or we spoke to three family members or neighbours or work colleagues about Jesus this year, and just one of them actually responded and became a Christian, the church would double in 1 year. We'd be jumping up and down and say, oh, this is amazing, this is fantastic. You know, and you know people who I don't know, and I know people that you don't know. And, you know, God has put you in certain places where you would be far more effective sharing Jesus with them than I would be. You know, I mean, I struggle to understand some of the Yorkshire people here. And, you know, as soon as I open my mouth, they know that I'm a posh person from down south. But, you know, Joe can reach people and speak in their language. I can't speak in their language. Some of you come from different parts of the world and you can speak in your own language. Praise God. And you know, you can reach people because you can relate to them. Some of you have got interests and hobbies which are completely different from my interests and hobbies. You know, when I start talking about my interest in cars or something like that, I can see your eyes glazing over. You're not interested. But there was a guy at this party last night. He's got a classic car. Oh, you know, we had a fantastic chat about classic car. You know, you can reach people because of your interests and things like that. And, you know, each one of us needs to be using every opportunity to share Jesus with our friends and our family. You know, and it's not hard when, you know, God has put around us the people around us. And, you know, if my last church used to be right over the road, just opposite the road, was Glaxo. SmithKline, world headquarters. And I used to say to them sometimes, there were some scientists who used to come to the church and working on research and developing new drugs, trying to find cures for cancer and things like that. And I said, you know, if you have found a cure for cancer and you kept quiet about it, that would be completely immoral, because there would be millions in the world suffering and dying of cancer, and all the time you knew the solution to it. You know, the reality is there are millions and billions who are going to die eternally without Jesus Christ. We know the answer. We have got the good news. We know how they can be saved. And so we have a responsibility not to keep it to ourselves, but to share it with everyone around us. Because if it's really true, we have got a message to proclaim, haven't we? And sometimes if we're not proclaiming it, are we really saying we don't believe it? Because if we really believe that it is the life-giving, life-saving message of Jesus, then we'll want to proclaim it to everybody around us. We will want our family and our friends to be saved. We will want them to know what it is, that they are on their way to glory. Wonderful. We're not going to get to growing larger. Don't worry about it, folks. You know, just again, just to emphasize on this for a moment, who was here? I know it was a snowy day, but some of you watched it on television, but you on the YouTube, on the live stream, saw Mike Brickley who came. He not only talked about the Pakistan brick kilns, but he talked about these, didn't he? And he told, you know, said, how many of us have got an arm? and a hand. And you know, the majority of us have. Now, sometimes we find it difficult to get them into our pocket to get our wallet out, but, you know, most of us have got arms and hands that actually function. And he was introducing these pocket testaments. He said, keep one in your back pocket. He said, all you've got to do, you know, because some of us get so scared about sharing Jesus with others, don't we? We get so scared of sharing Jesus with others. I don't mind admitting, you know, I do as well. Let's be real, let's be honest. You know, we don't want to offend people. We don't want to upset people. We don't want to lose friends. But they need to know about Jesus. And you know, one of the easiest things we can do is just get something out of our pocket and just reach out a hand and say, can I give you a gift? Can I give you a gift? You know, and very few people will actually refuse a gift because we all like a gift. And to give them something, you know, and it can open up conversation. And there's all of these are available for you, folks. There's one on football, if you're into football. I'm not in the least bit interested in football, but some of you are passionate about football, you know, and you know friends have got put football. Some of them have got testimonies in it. There's one about golf. Goodness, if I hit a golf ball, it goes in completely the wrong direction. But, you know, if you're into that, that's really wonderful. There's one about walking your dog. Well, we walk our dog, you know. Who are you walking with? It asks. It's got the gospel. It's got testimony. Catch the fire. We were giving out the Merry Christmas ones at Christmas time. You know, there's all manner of ways in which we can reach out to other people. But, you know, each one of us, if we've got an arm, we can offer a gospel to someone. Pick up some of those gospels at the end of the service and start thinking about giving them to others. And it's amazing what the conversations it can bring out because we believe the word of God is powerful. Amen?
Amen.
It can accomplish what we can't accomplish. Secondly, my goodness, I'm not getting very far on this, am I? To see the spiritually deprived areas of Burngreave, the north and eastern Sheffield, and ultimately the whole city of Sheffield and beyond impacted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want this city transformed by Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And we want to be part of that as this little tin pot church in Burngreave. God's put us here to reach out into this area and to make a difference. Thirdly, to present the good news of Jesus in our church services, in Rock Welcome Church, which is the afternoon service, the children's and the youth groups, and the special events, but also to encourage evangelistic initiatives and personal evangelism beyond church buildings. Joe's been going out into Western Park. Others of you go out in different places. You know, Jesus' commission was to go. We tend to be far better at saying, come to church and conform to what we are used to, and then you can hear about Jesus. But we also need to go out of the church building. And that's what excites me about the social action projects we do here. You know, none of them are truly social action projects. The only reason we do them is to introduce people to Jesus. When the food bank people come in, yeah, it's great because God has got a passion. The Old Testament tells us, the New Testament tells us that God has got a passion for the poor, the needy, the widow, the fatherless. And God has a special heart for them. And praise God, this church is meeting the needs of probably now 10,000 of those a year, praise God, through the food bank. But the real reason we're doing it is to share Jesus with those people, to pray with them, and to introduce them to Jesus. You know, that is what we're doing. And it's in a form of going out because people are coming into that overflow area there every week. Thousands of people over a year are coming in and we have the opportunity to share Jesus. The same with the CAP Debt Centre, the same with the Lighthouse Ministry to the homeless and the needy. It's all aimed at actually sharing Jesus with the people who need it the most. Although some people would disagree that they need it the most, because sometimes very middle class and wealthy people have got just as much need of Jesus as anyone else. So we need to reach all people types with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To see our evangelism empowered by the Holy Spirit with signs and wonders. Do you see there in those verses? it tells us in verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And I believe God works in power in order to reach out with the good news of Jesus Christ. Demonstrations of his power and miracles. Doesn't mean to say that everyone believes. They didn't, even when Jesus did miracles. In fact, when he did some miracles, they wanted to kill him. The religious people wanted to kill him. But the people who were receiving those miracles responded. And we pray that we would see God working in power so that people would know that there is a God in heaven and that he is real and he has real power and he can transform people's lives. Next one, to see Spittle Hill and the lighthouse buildings. That's these buildings, the little chapel down the road here. See our buildings being used extensively for community outreach activities and social action projects that are open doorways for the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And that's what we're all about, what I was just sharing. And then the final aim, to be a sending church, which is impacting the world for Jesus through prayer, financial support, and sending our people to make a difference in the nation. So it's having a vision, folks, beyond Burngreef, beyond Sheffield, that we, as this little church, can have an impact worldwide for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think it's exciting. Some of you may not even be aware of it, but as a church, we support financially and in prayer different mission organizations, different people who are serving the Lord in different countries. I think it's brilliant that we've got the link with Shake the Nations and Peter and Pam's son Nathan and going into different countries in Latin America and all over the world, sharing the good news of Jesus with people. We're very privileged to have those links, and it's wonderful that we are able to set aside and send some money out and support in prayer those projects. So what are our commitments that go with those aims? Firstly, to encourage and train the whole church to reach out evangelistically to their friends, neighbours and colleagues. That's what I'm doing, folks, when I'm saying about that. And, you know, we've had evangelism training courses. We've had courses about how to reach Muslims for Christ. We've had lots of different courses. Someone was speaking to me about evangelism explosion last Sunday. And, you know, we're looking forward in the future for more training opportunities to train and encourage us to reach out to our friends. Secondly, to provide evangelistic opportunities and events for people of all age groups. So part of the role of the church is actually to provide the facility for those events. And thirdly, to teach and present the Word of God, the importance of responding to Jesus, and the challenge of discipleship, evangelism, and mission to our children's and youth groups. So important, isn't it? You know, it excites me when children get fired up for evangelism. You know, in some of the great revivals in the past, there were churches being led by 13-year-olds. Now, sometimes we have to learn from the children. They have more faith than we have. I tell you, when they get on fire for the Lord, there's no stopping them. And they start sharing Jesus with all their classmates and their school. And, you know, we need to encourage, we need to be praying, we need to be encouraging our children and young people, not only to grow in their own faith, but to share their faith with those around them. It thrilled my soul so much that when my daughter and son-in-law went to my eldest grandchildren's school, they were saying Josiah, who's eight, that every week they love to hear the stories of what he's done over the weekend and what he's done at church. Isn't that great? He's not old enough yet to know that he ought to be embarrassed. Now, that's the problem, isn't it? No, children aren't embarrassed. They'll just tell everyone what they've done over the weekend. They'll tell them how great their church is and everything else. When we get older, God, they're not saying anything about that. People might laugh at us. But they're not bothered about it, kids. It's wonderful. It's great. to pray in faith, miraculous signs and wonders to empower evangelism. Why prayer is so important, fundamental importance to everything, isn't it? To pray. We're not going to see God working in power unless we pray. To provide within our buildings resource facilities that could be used for community outreach groups, social action projects and activities that are open doorways for the good news of Jesus. So in other words, making what God has blessed us with. God has blessed us with this building. We want it to be used for the glory of God and for the extension of his kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
And then finally, to support, train, and encourage people to be involved in world mission, including prayer, financial support, and sending people to be involved in mission in the UK and across the world. Praise God. We're going to forget about growing larger in numbers. Well, I'm not going to forget about it. I'm going to postpone it to sometime soon. After the Partnership Sunday, probably. But we'll look at that next another time. But the Lord has interrupted and intervened and done all that he's done today. So that's enough for you lot today, I think. Enough for me today. And I can shut up and you can get on with life. But verse 47 says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." And so let's be praying. And let's be working towards this church being a church that's growing out in evangelism and mission. Amen. To the glory of God's name, to the extension of his kingdom. Amen?